All right. Thank you very much, Eric Smith. It is Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Ben Ennis and Kevin Barker's. The Blue Jays lose game 2 to the Orioles, 7-3. Phone lines are open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on the cell. What a start for Bowden Francis. But what a game, Kev, from Anthony Santander, the pending free agent. A couple of home runs, both sides of the plate. And the play of the game defensively in right field, Robin Vladimir Guerrero Jr. of extra bases.
Yeah, how good would Santander look and hit behind Vladimir Guerrero Jr. in 2025? I mean, if you're looking for a guy that can do it from both sides of the plate, hit velocity, be really good with two strikes, we see it, right? That first home run where he fouls the fastball off. He's sit and spin when he gets to two strikes. That's why he hits the breaking ball with two strikes as far as he does hit him. He hit the changeup off the lefty, right? He's just doing things that, you know, this year a lot of people can't do, and he's going to be really sought after in the offseason. And again, if you're looking for a dude that can protect a couple of guys at the top of your order and do some things that, you know, Blue Jays fans have been dreaming about, I mean, I would think that's a guy you might want to take a run at.
I would think so. He's going to have more than a few suitors, though, Kev. I also wonder, I mean, it's funny how this happens. The guys have career years in their free agency seasons. He's had some good years, but he's right up there with the big boys as far as power is concerned. 34 on the season. Like, he and Aaron Judge since June have been going back and forth. OPS now, like, approaching 900. He's 30 years old. He plays good defense. I mean, he's going to be 30 in October. I don't want to give him his 30th birthday yet because he's got a little time. But, he's going to be one of the most prized free agents out there. I mean, there's Juan Soto. Obviously, there's Pete Alonso. But when you do what he's done, I mean, he doesn't take a ton of walks. But when you're talking about light tower power from both sides of the plate and playing, like, more than passable defense, and there's been some rumors the Blue Jays have been interested perhaps in years previous in talking trade with the Orioles. He does sound like the perfect guy. They have an opening in one of the corner outfield spots. I don't know how he's not the number one target for Mark Shapiro and Ross Atkins.
Yeah, I would think also, too, the two teams in New York, right? The Yankees don't re-sign Juan Soto, or they don't take a run at him. Again, it's, you know, probably going to start with a 5. Do you really want to do that if you're the Yankees? I mean, this is a good dude, right? Short porch and right, and, you know, a guy basically that can fill in and not miss a beat if you don't re-sign Juan Soto. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to be the easiest thing to do. But, again, you know, listening to Mark today, sounds like they're going to have a little bit of money to spend. How much, right? I mean, I'm still in the camp of it doesn't sound like they're going to, you know, take a serious run at Vladdy. That'll still give you a little bit of flexibility to do some things if you want to. And if we really want to take this lineup serious, this organization serious, they're going to have to go out and spend money on a thumper. I mean, again, Ben, if you look at it, they're 26th in slug versus lefties. Yeah. I mean, that little Trevor Rogers dude just carved him up a little sinker and a four-seamer away.
It was just
carving them up. So how much you got to see that before you just say basically uncle? Like, it's time we need to go out and correct this and get some things taken care of and get back to doing what the Blue Jays do well, which is destroy lefties, start hitting some fastballs, start scoring a few more runs. And, you know, I think, again, it's not as hard a fix as I think everybody thinks it might be. But, again, it's just going to come down to how much money they got to spend and how much they're willing to spend. And if they actually think that's the problem, only time will tell.
Yeah, Trevor Rogers doing his best Ryan Yarbrough impression, except it wasn't Ryan Yarbrough because he's a Blue Jay now, and doing what Ryan Yarbrough has done more than a few times against the Blue Jays, carving him up with that low 90s fastball. On the other side, Bowden Francis with his second great pitching performance against this Orioles team. It looked like it was going to unravel for him early as he walks the leadoff man, gives up the 2-run home run, second batter of the game. It's 2-0 Orioles, but settles down, and the strikeout, a huge weapon for Francis. 7 Ks, Kev, giving up just the 2 earned runs, 3 hits, 1 walk. He was using the splitter. He was using the fastball, reestablishing the fastball a little bit. What did you see from Bowden Francis?
Well, other than Larry Vanover making a bunch of friends on both sides of the ball, I mean,
he had an exciting day out there.
Yeah, yeah.
Throwing people out, he's gesticulating.
He was calling them balls and strikes blindfolded. I mean, let's be honest. Let's not lie about that. So, you know, I mean, he was big up and he was big away, which helped Bowden a little bit. But again, it looked to me like he was maybe making a grip adjustment, not so much backspinning it. You know, sort of allows him to be a little bit more fine and on point with the fastball command. He was getting called strikes with that. He threw 81 pitches, 59 strikes. That's about a little over 16 pitches per inning. I mean, that's really good for a guy you mentioned throwing a split finger. I think it's where it ended up, right? You could tell it had better extension, had better finish. You know, the slider was on the corners. He's a big dude. I mean, I don't know if you've ever walked up to him and said hi, but he will dwarf you. I mean, he is a giant human, and sometimes it's very hard to get all that connected and compact and over the rubber and just, you know, having the same lane and being able to repeat delivery. And tonight it seemed like he was able to do that. You know, it was a combination of that umpire and some adjustments. And, you know, Petey and Servin were working hard to get him through this. They did a nice job. It just, you know, so happened the lineup didn't show up tonight.
Yeah, Colton Cowser striking out without seeing a strike in the strike zone.
Stay hot.
Thanks to Larry Vanover. Again, phone lines are open. We're taking your calls on this game. Also, if you want to talk about the Mark Shapiro press conference from earlier in the day, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590 on the cell. Let's go to Greg in Niagara Falls. How's it going, Greg?
How you doing, guys?
Good.
So this is the first time I just listened to after the game on Sportsnet. First time, and I'm not saying nothing negative, but first time I've heard this much disappointment in Mark Shapiro, basically not all the way, but, you know, saying, well, we need to do better continuity with Atkins if he comes back, and, you know, basically failing this much because it's been really bad. And Jeff's even said it. The team's a mess. They've got a lot of work to do. Either way you cut it. And I took a lot of stuff from that press conference, so I'd like to hear what you guys have to say. Take care.
All right, thanks, Greg. Appreciate the call. Yeah, Kev, we talked about it a little bit on Blair and Barker today. It was a different tenor than what we've heard from Ross Atkins, who was very apologetic. Mark Shapiro was kind of more a matter of fact today.
Yeah, look, I think they come to the realization that, you know, trying to pitch and defend your way to either an American League East title or trying to squeak into the playoffs, just not good enough. I mean, it's hard to do that consistently year after year. And, you know, to put stock in what they put stock in offensively, you know, the Kirks of the world, to basically carry your team and hit in the middle of the order, you know, is a little mind-boggling. And it's a breath of fresh air to actually hear, you know, the people that are making the calls actually coming out and going, maybe we got this wrong. Like, you know, maybe we need to get in a room and figure out, you know, what's going on and how to fix it and start heading the right direction. Again, every organization, Ben, and you know this, you've heard other teams and you've had other teams' front offices on your show. Every time you hear them talk, they always say the same thing. We need to line our organization and our big league team with as much talent as possible. Well, why should the Blue Jays be any different? And the only thing that I think the realization is, you got to pay for that. And I think that, again, is going to be the one little thing that stands out. Are they willing to go out and pay for somebody like Santander? I mean, he's going to cost you money, and we're going to find out real soon, I think, after the World Series is over, just exactly, you know, how far they're going to go to solidify and help this organization and go where and just be an easier watch. I mean, yeah. I think that's what everybody's wanting, right, that loves the Blue Jays is – they want a reason to show up and watch dudes. Hitting homers and thumping is fun to watch. It really is.
Have a chance to come back in a baseball
game. There you
go. Put some crooked numbers up on the scoreboard. Now, whether that's, signing a Santander or using maybe some of the assets you acquired at the deadline in another trade, flipping them for a bat. This offense obviously needs a total revamp when it comes to 2025. Again, phone lines open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, *590. Alejandro Kirk continuing his hot run, Kev. He's the DH today, batting cleanup. Mm-hmm. And he was 2 for 3, had a walk as well. I mean, they changed that initial ground ball that, boy, Kobe Mayo, with the tough start to the baseball game. That ends up being a base hit. And the one out he made, he hit the ball hard as well. Maybe starting to come around. I mean, the numbers are pretty positive over the last week or so.
Yeah, ground ball's an error. I mean, that's you know, it's home.
Seemed cooking, pretty but clearly to be an error.
Yeah, but that's okay. I mean, Kirk, you'll take it. Look,
he hit that
I don't
one
know,
hard.
I said this to Jeff a couple of days ago, and Jeff yelled at me. But I think his bat looks quicker. Like, it just looks like, you know, there's a little bit less wasted movement with his lower half. I think his little toe tap thing he's tried to do is a little bit more square with his shoulders. It's not cutting himself off to where, you know, that's a wasted movement. I think he's cleaned that up a little bit. And I think he's rotating with his lower half a little bit better, which will allow him to pull velocity. I think that's what it is. And that's allowing him to have a little bit of quicker bat. So, bottle that up, you know, hopefully going forward that this is something that maybe they can check off their list to where they don't have to go in the offseason and add it to another page going out and trying to figure out how they're going to get an inning or a game eater behind the plate. So maybe Kirky's the guy. I don't know. I mean, they seem to think that this time around they can figure out how to get him 3 or 3 days out of 4 and DH him a couple of days a week.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Obviously, the Orioles.
You're really
are
optimistic about this. I can see you're on board.
No, I'm not super optimistic about it. But what I am curious about is that, yeah, obviously he's striking fear into the hearts of the Orioles because they pitched to Vlad with a base open and a chance to intentionally walk him to face Alejandro Kirk in that game, and they pitched to Vlad, and luckily for them, they get bailed out by Anthony Santander at the wall, making a great, great catch. Blue Jays' bullpen has been horrible all season long. That's not Vince's words here. It's been really, really bad.
That's what Mark was talking about with the getting in a room with Ross and trying to figure out what the heck's going on. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't a bullpen that started with Yeri Rodriguez or Ryan Yarbrough or Ryan Burr. And Burr's got a nice little slider there against righties. The problem is Jackson Holliday swings it from the left side. And I don't know, do you think Ryan Burr is going to be able to get lefties out at any level?
Look, I think they got too many pocket guys. That's what I think. If you again, want to sell what you're trying to sell to a fan base – that we're actually invested in this and we want to fix it and turn it around, you got to get no-brainers. I mean, all these really good teams who are fighting for, you know, to win a playoff series. I mean, I'm not even going to go as far as saying trying to win the World Series, but they need some no-brainers, right? Where John's got a seventh-inning guy, John's got an eighth-inning guy, John's got a no-brainer ninth-inning guy. Like, you know, you can't always try and pocket the right guy. It's two righties and a lefty who don't have an uppercut in his swing. Like, it's just too hard for managers and a pitching coach to always try and get this right. And sooner or later, you're going to run into a guy who's trying to elevate a fastball and misses, and a good, young, left-handed hitter's going to make you pay for it. So, yeah, I don't know what the right answer to your question is. Man. I just know optically it is, you know, it's just a tough sale, and it's a tough job for a coaching staff to always get the right guy in at the right time. I mean, with that, go out and figure it out. If you got to spend a little money, you got to spend a little money. I mean, good. Again, we get back to this. Talent costs money. Experience that's good costs money. You want them, you want to win, you got to pay for them. We'll see if they do it.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Burr reacting that way because he's a 30-year-old journeyman. He's been up and down trying to stick at the major league level. He sees the opportunity here with the Blue Jays, and that's a tough spot for him. But, it's the reason why he hasn't caught on full-time with a major league club. It's been a while for him. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. Jake is in Toronto.
Hi, guys. First of all, I love the show.
Thanks.
I'm coming back from the Jays game now, and I want to talk about what you guys just talked about sort of misusing the bullpen. And what I can't really understand is John Schneider continues to bring in Yenesis Cabrera early into the game, like sixth, seventh inning. And in my opinion, he's been lights out recently. I think he should be the eighth inning guy, and that way you have Chad Green for the ninth, and you're not relying on these other pitchers late in the game.
Thanks for the call, Jake. I mean, he was the eighth inning guy yesterday, Kev. He was going through the middle of the order today, and I'm sure John Schneider was hoping that, you know, get him there where you got the lead, and maybe you tack on some runs later. You can comfortably use some of your lower leverage guys, which is pretty much the rest of the bullpen outside of Chad Green. But unfortunately for them, they were stuck on a couple of runs there for a while.
Yeah, he's a pocket guy. I mean, he tried to bring him in top of the order. He brought him in the top of the order because he's a switch hitter and two lefties. Like,
yeah,
that's why he's bringing him in. I mean, this just gets back to that. If you know,
is that what you're calling him, pocket guys? No more loogies because of the three batter rule. You call him pocket guys now?
Absolutely. Well, that's what John calls him. Like, that's what you know. Everybody that talks about this bullpen says the bullpen the same way, is they got a bunch of sixth and seventh inning guys who were pocket guys. I mean, I guess if you want to throw Chad Green as an eighth or ninth inning guy, yeah, I mean, lately he has been. I think he needs to create another pitch against lefties if that's what he wants to be. You know, the slider and the elevated fastball, is that always going to work against a tough left-handed hitter? Maybe only time will tell, but yeah, like you can name a guy, and most of those guys are pocket guys. You know, just not bringing them in a certain inning. They are bringing them in determined on which side of the plate the dude's hitting from. And Cabrera's no different. So, you know, if that would have been the seventh inning, the top of the order's coming in, he would have came in the seventh inning. If that would have been the eighth inning, he's coming in the eighth inning. Like, you know, that's just right now the way it is. And I just don't know how people can yell and scream at their TV about what John Schneider's doing with his pen.
No, he's got no options.
Have you guys watched the pen?
Ryan Burr was on a scrap heap like 2 weeks ago.
It's the worst pen in baseball.
Yeri Rodriguez. Yeah. I mean, that was before they had the guys that are currently pitching in it, too. Yeah.
Crazy.
They just traded away Jimmy Garcia. Jordan Romano's not there. So, yeah, there's not a lot of great options for this bullpen right now. All right, why don't we take a break, and when we come back, we'll get to more of your calls. Also, we'll hear from the manager, John Schneider, after the Blue Jays lose Game 2 of this three-game set to the Orioles, 7-3. Phone lines continue to be open, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, star 590. Ben Ennis, Kevin Barker, it's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I think split's been better, and today, slider was a good pitch, and I think, execution is a big part of it. You know, I mean, I say it all the time against this team, too. They're built to hit homers, and that's how they beat us today, you know. So I think him kind of just understanding how his pitches play off one another is a big thing for him, too. And, you know, just knowing that he's going to be out there for an extended period of time instead of just kind of letting it rip for an inning or two, I think that's big for him. And again, I was just really, really pleased with what he did. I mean, it's a credit to him. You know, they just saw him, you know, albeit it's game two of a doubleheader, and I don't think Gunnar was in the lineup that day. But, you know, for him to, you know, just see them and then still come out and make pitches, that's a really, really good sign.
Blue Jays Talk, Sportsnet Radio Network, Ben Ennis, Kevin Barker. That was the manager, John Schneider, talking about his starter, Bowden Francis, who is outstanding. I guess there is maybe a question as to whether you bring him out for the sixth inning. 81 pitches, Kev. I mean, he did pitch in relief at Yankee Stadium. He was going so good. 7 strikeouts, you got a depleted pen, 5 innings. Was there any debate?
Oh, yeah, it's about winning this time of the year for the Toronto Blue Jays, absolutely. Yeah,
I mean, well, you're not supposed to actively try and lose the game. Winning's better than losing, though.
Yeah. Look, it's very hard for me because I'm not in the dugout to know the pitching staff the way the pitching coach and the manager know their pitching staff. So, you know, Bowden's been bounced around. Routines are a hard thing to come about, right? He's not always a starter. He's coming out of the pen. He's piggybacking Yariel. Like, he's been sort of all over the map. And I think that's why John threw that in there was, you know, he's finally getting the ball when he's supposed to be getting, and he's sort of trying to find a routine. We ain't screwing this up. They're going to need, I would think, guys like him next year to sort of do whatever they're going to do for that fifth spot, right? After Yariel, it is throwing it against the wall. And, you know, you're trying to find cheap versions that can eat innings. And if he's one of the guys that can get a little bit better command with a fastball and the slider's decent and the finish is consistent, then maybe he's in the mix of being one of those guys. So, yeah, don't get crazy. I mean, don't start things and get people yelling at, you know, coaches like I know you like to do.
I just asked the question. Get him, man. Ask a question. Yeah, he was awesome. This is the Bowden Francis we expected to see right out of the gates, or we're hoping to see at least, you know.
Yeah, and
all you're looking for.
And remember,
starters going five,
and remember when Cabrera came in, top of the order. That's a big deal, right? It's how many times you're facing 2, 3, 4 in the order.
That's a good point.
They don't like you to do that. So
no, they don't.
It is what it
and
is.
And understandable. No, 100%.
Yeah. And they were winning.
They were winning, and you want Bowden Francis to end on a high in two consecutive starts. He was, again, on in relief. Mm-hmm. In extra innings at Yankee Stadium where he gave up the game-winning RBI to DJ LeMahieu.
It is your job to poke and be negative, and I will
I
will burst that bubble and not allow you to do it on this show.
Okay? It's not my job. I'm being very positive. Bowden Francis, according to the Stuff Plus metric, like
the splitter
is working for him right now. It's just
what's the definition of Stuff Plus? Does that mean they can't hit it?
Yeah, that's right. It's like it's got good stuff. It's like exit velocity, your favorite stat. Yeah.
Well,
it's right there. Except it was playing today for Bowden Francis.
Took you 23 minutes to get Stuff Plus out there, so good job.
Thank you. Anyways, I think in the Blue Jays best case scenario, and I would hope, I would think part of their game plan in rejiggering this roster this offseason is adding another major league caliber pitcher so that Jake Bloss and Bowden Francis are your 6 and your 7, and that anything you get from like Alec Manoa next season is a bonus, but that I think ideally they'd like to go into opening day with Bowden Francis and Jake Bloss nowhere near the major league. Well, not nowhere near, but like as part of your AAA rotation.
You got to evaluate talent quicker. Like that seems to be their issue the last couple of off seasons as the front office, and then they let some guys fester at the big league level that, quite frankly, are probably not big leaguers, and then that kills sort of what you're trying to do with momentum, just by wins and losses. And I don't know about you, but they need to get off to a really, really good start, and that would help by handing the ball to a legitimate big leaguer. And if they think Bowden Francis can give them that, consistently giving him the ball every 5 days, well, the only way you're going to know that is to give it to him every 5 days for the rest of the year and find out. And hopefully he does it because he is a good dude. He is a good dude. He tries hard. And you root for a guy like that.
Yeah, if you can keep your team in a ball game through 5, 6 innings, you can carve out a nice major league career.
I do like John every once in a while. He will sort of – you know, poke a little bit at that is the way that offense is geared to hit homers. Well,
I mean, who'd have thunk it? The most effective way to put a run on the board and the team that does it most often is in a pretty good position. Yeah, it seems to be like maybe a reevaluating of how valuable a home run is for this organization. Like, of all the things that they need to rethink as far as philosophically – And comparing, you know, whether we should be a defensive team as opposed to – should we lean more defense, more offense? I mean, the number one thing has to be hit more home runs. However you accomplish that goal, whatever the trade-off is, this team needs to swing for – I don't know if they need to swing for the fences. Whatever the end result is has to be more balls going over the wall.
They need dudes who know how to hit 3-run homers. Those at-bats are a lot of the times non-existent in this lineup. And – you stringing together 3 hits and, you know, a bloop double is really hard to do in today's game because of the way they pitch, the way they pitch backwards, how hard they throw. And that elevated fastball gives a bunch of dude headaches. So you got a guy that you can go out and get like a Christian Walker or a Pete Alonso or somebody, you know, the Santanders of the world, then that's what I think you need to try and do to – just, you know, make a manager look better, make a front office look better. And boy, how the 3-run homer will do that.
Yeah. It sure would. Bobby Witt Jr. continues to hit him as we look at
your MVP of 2024.
I didn't say that. You can't bring our private conversations to the public airwaves, Kevin. Aaron Judge is clearly today, if the voting is today, Aaron Judge
tomorrow,
is
next
question,
week, next month, the end of the year.
I will
October,
say that,
November, I mean, it will never change.
What Bobby Witt Jr. is doing this season it can't go overlooked. He had a two home run game today. He's got 22 this season. He's hitting .349 with now a .606 slug and a .394 on base. He's playing upper level defense at the most premium defensive position. He's not playing at Yankee Stadium. He's playing in a little more cavernous ballpark. Although, like Yankee Stadium, not as favorable to right-handed hitters as it is to lefties.
Yeah,
but Aaron Judge can poke him over the wall.
They sound like second place numbers. That's what that sounds like. So, you know, if you're trying to sell that to me, I've seen Aaron Judge.
Yeah, me too.
You know, he's got 40 big ones already and 100 plus. I mean, hitting like .320. He is 9 feet tall and plays center field for the New York Yankees.
It's good.
Yeah, good luck selling that. Yeah.
No, I've just said, give him more respect. Anyways. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by the local family-owned Crown Rust Control Centers in Hamilton on Ditton Drive in downtown on Victoria Avenue. Protect your vehicle from rust today. Find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection. All right, we got a rubber match between these two teams tomorrow. Kevin Gausman on the mound against Dean Kramer. Kevin Gausman trying to continue... Yeah, his bounce back after a slow start to the season, of course, was injured and, didn't quite look like his old self. If he can return to looking like top of the rotation starter, that'd be a good thing going into next season.
Yeah, Vladdy needs 8 homers for 30. How about hitting one tomorrow?
Also, that would help. All right, we'll be back with another edition of Blue Jays Talk tomorrow. We'll also be on Blair and Barker on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 590, The Fan, at 4 o'clock, 4 to 6. For Kevin Barker, I'm Ben Ennis. This has been Blue Jays Talk as Blue Jays lose 7-3 to the Orioles on the Sportsnet Radio Network.